whatever this is, it's not working, and we have to change.
I just imagine, like, the four of us carrying an All Blacks coffin.
World Rugby is buggering up our game.
Are Ireland really there, or are Australia tired? Have they really dropped off where we saw them?
I don't think the drop goal should be 3 points.
I won't be swimming in the cold sea. I'll be in the Irish pubs waiting for Trimby. I
thought drop goals were just for World Cups.
I think it's time for the coaches to stand up and say, listen, we need to look at this.
You've injured someone or whatever, you know, you're out for 6 weeks and we're going to dock your pay.
We as the Southern Hemisphere must be worried. Okay, so I'll put my little fox speedo in for in case. But luckily we won't lose, so I'll be fine.
Well, he tackles like a Spanish footballer.
Right, welcome to Rugby Rivals for another week. And you okay there, JK?
Not actually, Ricardo. How do you think I am, mate? How do you think I am? Like,
how'd your team get on the weekend?
Seriously? It's your team as well, you idiot.
I know, but I'm impartial for this show.
How do you think I feel? How do you think I feel going to Twickenham and losing and listening to Swing Low at full voice of 80,000 people for, well, they didn't sing for the first 20 minutes, but for the last 50 they did. Gutted, Ricardo, to be fair, yeah, as you should be.
Yeah.
You haven't done any of the rest of us any favours, JK. Now they're cock-a-hoop, and now we all have to, it's not just you who has to suffer. We're all suffering as a result.
For the first time, all three of us were behind you, ready, and you let us down. Come on.
Yeah, like we did, mate. We did. We let ourselves. Like, there's just some things within the team that we're just not used to seeing as All Blacks fans, right? Like, honestly, there's some amazing rugby being played, and then we have this other side of our personality. Like, how often do you see an All Black team miss touch with the ability to go 15 points clear, not be really clinical? You know, we missed touch twice at critical times, didn't take a kick at goal. You know, it's just really difficult for us to understand what's going on as well. So, you know, we're pretty gutted, and you know, for me, it's like hard to come up with the answers, right? And there's absolutely no excuses. I thought England were really, really good, clinical, you know, heaps of energy, and we were just we weren't good enough.
So, okay, do you think we all talk about our DNA, and I know New Zealand got a certain DNA. I just felt on Saturday they played too much rugby between the two 10 yards. They were not getting momentum, and they just kept on playing until they made a mistake, and that gave territory immediately to England.
Well, I call it dead man zone, right? And for the first sort of 10, 12 minutes, we're in dead man zone. And yes. I was sitting next to this guy, and I said, we need to change up our kicking game. We need to put a pressure on. And for then for about 10 or 12 minutes, we did. And we had that beautiful spell where it scored. You know, they did a really good back move, and the center popped out, and you know, we were looking really good. And then it was like we switched, you know, with Bodie missing that kick to the corner. You know, you're sort of going, you know, we can go to 15 points clear here. And then that DNA balance is a good way to put it, Victor. We just don't need to be finding that mix between, you know, the flair, our DNA, where we can score a try from anywhere, back to that disciplined, you know, strangle you type of game. We haven't found that mix at all. And it's, you know, it's frustrating. It's frustrating because, you know, I think if you want to be an All Black now and go down in the legacy, it's like South Africa, you know, you've got to win something like the Grand Slam. So for them not to win the Grand Slam as a team, you know, they don't go down in the history books. So it's frustrating if you're a Kiwi now.
We're all sad for you.
We're all sad for you, eh? Yeah. We are black shirts today. Look, I do have an All Black jersey as well, you see. I'm just hiding it today.
Yeah, no, I don't give up the faith, guys. Like for me, I'm an All Black fan. You know, I love the jersey, I love the team. And, you know, for us, I feel for the players, we've all been players, right? Like, you know, sometimes when you're trying to soul search to understand what's next, you know, and you've just got to cop it, right? At the moment, we're just not good enough. And if you don't admit that to yourselves first, you know, one of the things that I've always been taught as an All Black, the first person you need to look at is yourself in the mirror. So sometimes these are turning points, you know, something has to change. And what is it? I don't know. There needs to be some soul searching within the team, within the coaching staff. They need to look in the mirror, probably starting with Razor. You know, he needs to look in the mirror and say, okay, what's going wrong? And we need to get back on the horse and make sure we finish the tour well. But then over the summer, there needs to be some reviews about why we are inconsistent. And that's the concern, right? The inconsistency in our performance over this year is probably not acceptable.
Do you think there's something, is it something very kind of deeply fundamentally wrong with the All Blacks, or could there be a couple of quick fixes? As you say, first 20 minutes against Scotland was brilliant. First 20 minutes against Twickenham was brilliant. There was brilliant last 20 minutes in Chicago. So there are moments we go, that's the All Blacks of old, but there's so much inconsistency. Even just when you look at England and how they performed at the weekend, they've took years to get here. And because it felt like there was something fundamentally flawed with what they're doing and their philosophy, it feels like New Zealand could probably fix that a bit quicker. Is that the case, or is there something deeply wrong?
It's a great question, Trimby, and I thought about this yesterday, right? And at this level, the difference is very small percentages, okay? But sometimes you can use that as, oh, it was a couple of misses for touch, it was this, is that. But that's when you're lying to yourself. If there is another issue, are the players connected enough? Is it a game plan they want to buy into? You know, where are those changes? So I don't think, if I was going to think deeper, is Super Rugby now preparing our players for Test Match Rugby? If I was going to look deeper. So I think there's two conversations. Is our high performance format delivering the players in the condition that we need to play Test Match Rugby? First question. Second question, other way around. That needs to be the second question. The first question is, you know, what the coaching staff will have to ask themselves was, do these players want to play this game plan? What's our selection model like? What's our trainings like? So you guys just got to go through the whole stuff because it's small differences. And, you know, there's got to be a real, real honest sit down session, especially with the leaders.
I just feel, and I think it almost answers your questions as well. I think rugby goes through cycles. And at this moment, there's two areas of the game that's really important. First, actually three, but the two are standing out. First, you need to have a dominant scrum. Second thing is the aerial contest. And then you need game breakers to score turnovers and broken field. But those first two, I think, are so important in the game. And if you look at all the teams that's consistently good, and not that you fall off. I mean, I think you lost one more game than South Africa this year. So it's not that big a margin. But I think if you go and have a look at the big games, you don't have a scrum. You stand now, hold your own, but it's not dominant. You don't get scrum penalties from there. And the aerial battle, all the games that you lose the aerial contest. So I think that's a big area that at the moment with a cycle where World Rugby are and our games are won, that's just one area where you fall short at the moment. And I think that's something. Do you want to keep playing the way you want, or do you need to work at that and pick players that can give you that dominance?
Yeah, I don't disagree, and I think the biggest thing for me, Victor, is I totally agree with that. I think our aerial game needs a bit of work on. I mean, I'm not going to comment on the scrum, but I think you're right, a dominant scrum. I think it's the inconsistency over the 80 minutes. That is the psychological challenge. That's where I would be asking the question, right? So there's an emotional side and there's a technical side. So you're totally right. You know what it's like with set piece. You've got to win your line out. You know, you've got to win your scrum. And I think the aerial, and I think discipline now, although the discipline is a little bit, you know, it's a little bit up in the air because especially with South Africa, when you get red carded, you're still winning your football game.
But JK, we talk about emotional. Emotional, they must be there because they start very well every game. So that means they're up for the game.
Yeah, totally.
The attitude's there. So it's not an attitude problem because they start really well. They just can't go for 80 minutes. And that's where I talk about that dead area where most teams, they play one, two phases. If they don't, they don't waste energy. They just go to the kicking game, put a ball up, just outside the 22. It's one kick, it's 20-meter sprint, so you don't waste energy. Where New Zealand is playing that dead area, and I think later in the game, it's probably catching up with them because you only have so much energy in a game.
Yeah, and look, I think when I talk about honesty and looking in the mirror, this isn't, whatever we're doing is not working. So you just need to admit that. We need to win this week, but then you need to sit down and go, whatever this is, it's not working and we have to change, right? Now, it's like, to answer your question, Trimby, it's not the end of the world. These are small margins, but those small margins are going to cost you big time. And so if you are an All Black fan and an All Black player and an All Black part of the team, then, you know, it is something's not working and we need to find out what it is. And that needs to be internal, and then we need to go, right, what do we need to do over this break to move forward, you know?
And it's mad how it's mad how serious this is, because usually every other podcast we just take the piss out of each other, and now it feels like we're all showing solidarity, which makes it worse, I would say.
Yeah,
I just imagine like the four of us carrying an All Blacks coffin here. That's what it kind of feels like.
We should be enjoying this actually, to me. Because it doesn't happen often.
But I think,
it's not often that the All Blacks are down.
I think, guys.
JK,
2009,
the All Blacks were in the same situation. Great players, they just couldn't put it together. Off season, they went down. I know there's a story about they went into the change room, what's wrong within the team culture, and they came out, and for 6 years, they were the best team in the world. So, like you say, it's small margins in this game.
Oh, I've been there as an All Black as well. We've been there. Ricardo was actually there. And I think before the World Cup, in South Africa, Ricardo, there was a lot going on and there were a few changes that had to be made. And, you know, I think they made some changes. So this happens, like, but guys, I just care so much. Like, I just really care about this team. And as I know you both do for your team. So it's good to take the piss, but, you know, I regard you guys as friends of mine, and I'm just really, really upset. And I'm upset
Can I ask
for the players,
a question?
And I'm upset for the team, you know?
Just a question for me. If they pick a World 15 tomorrow, at the moment, how many All Blacks do you think would be in that World 15?
Roygaard.
Why did they take Roygaard off? Was he injured?
I think both him and Barrett got a bit of a knock. Yeah, they're both injured. Yeah.
Because he was brilliant in that first half, giving territory, his kicking game, everything was spot on.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. But
he
I think,
really
you know,
good.
I think for me, there's you're right, Victor. You know, in times, you know, like there's moments in time. Trimby, you played in that amazing game in Chicago, where all of a sudden you had the football team, you might not have had the belief, and then whammo, you know, look where you've come now. So it's just an honesty call, and we need to sit down and go, whatever this is, we're 5% off, and that's unacceptable at this level because we'll get beaten. So there's a lot going on too, Ricardo. There's a lot going on, as you know. There's a lot of change going on within the rugby union, so it's a moment of change.
If you were going to name a World 15 tomorrow, I want to ask all three of you, what All Blacks would be in that World 15? So, JK, you've got Roygaard.
Roygaard's going to get dropped as soon as DuPont gets back from injury as well.
For me, I think there's probably... Jordan. Yeah, there's three guys that probably get close. The two just named, Roygaard, Will Jordan, and then Sevilla must always be close to selection as well.
I think Caleb Clark's pretty up there as well.
But there's a problem, no tight five in that mix.
Well, Cody Taylor has been, you know.
He's not bad. He's playing well, but I don't think he's at the same level as Malcolm Marks and Sheenan.
And what about England? I mean, you know, we've talked about the All Blacks, but England are a team on the rise.
Well, you know, Victor talked about DNA and what you saw on the weekend. And this is and Trimby mentioned it, you know, after 20 minutes, 25 minutes, I'm sitting in the stand pretty relaxed. I think, you know, we're gonna really nail these guys. But I just think they know their DNA. You know, they just know their DNA. When they're in that dead man zone, Victor, you know they're going to put a kick up. You know, they're going to chase it. You know, their scrum's really competent. Their line-out's really competent. They just – and they work really hard off the ball, you know. They are running. They are working really, really hard. You know, they deserve their win on the weekend. You can't say anything against that. They hung in there. They worked hard. Their bench came on really excited. So, you know, they Borthwick, you know, last year, this is how quickly it works, right, Trimby? Last November, they're saying Borthwick's not good enough. Let's get rid of them, you know? And I just think they know their DNA and they know how to play a game that suits them.
Well, I think if you look at Borthwick, he was part of a very successful Saracen team for a long time. And I think when he took over, he wanted to go away from that a little bit. And then you could just see he's going back completely back to that Saracen style. What worked for them, kicking game, long kicking game, hard chase, trap those guys, try and force the turnover. And I mean, the aerial game is pretty good. And they've got two front rows that's very competitive as well. So the scrum is good. So I just think Borthwick went back to exactly what worked for them at Saracens and probably even the culture, because I know Saracens had a great culture when they were so successful. So I think he just went back to that. Everyone bought in, and like JK is saying, they know how they want to win. It's not, I mean, every team's got a way that they want to win games, and at this stage, England know exactly how they want to play and how they want to win games.
And it's about the balance as well. As you say, in that dead man zone between the tens, how much rugby do we play? How many phases do we go when it starts to slow down? And there's a sense, you know, you can see George Ford kind of putting his finger in there, sort of going, it feels like now's the time. And he just has a sense for it. And I'm sure there's a science as well, but then there's a feel. Mm-hmm. And they seem to have that feel. Alex Mitchell and him just seem to get that balance. Borthwick didn't always get that balance. A year ago, we were having this conversation around just limited game, limited amount of rugby, just kicking the ball too early, kicking the ball too often. And I don't know if it's maybe they didn't get that balance correct, or whenever they did go to the air, they weren't good enough in the air to make it work. So it looked like the game plan was flawed, but they just seem to have that balance now where they kick at the right time, play at the right time. And you know, when you've got a pack going forward, pack dominant, a set piece, winning collisions, and you've got someone like George Ford who just reads the game so well, just dropping into the pocket, even the 3 points from drop goals. I thought drop goals were just for World Cups. But every now and again, you just go, okay, that's a lovely addition to your game. Imagine the feeling from your pack in front of you. They just go 2, 3, 4 phases and then just go easy 3 points. Keep that momentum going. And then obviously the All Blacks just feel like they're in the receiving end the whole time. England have really got that balance set at the minute.
Just talking about that, and I said I probably wouldn't say it today, but stuff it, I'm going to say it anyway. But there's two rules that need to change pretty quick, you know? Let's start with two. But like this team in attack and then this goal line dropout, that is bullshit. So teams aren't getting a reward from positivity. And I've been saying this and I didn't want to say it today, but I don't think the drop goal should be 3 points. I still think it should go back to one, because then it becomes a game winner. But I totally agree with you, Trimby. That was great, great, great tactical and decision for them to make a drop kick, because we made two mistakes. They went down and crawled back to 1 point. So I think tactically on the weekend, unbelievable. The future, I want to see that change to just 1 point.
No, JK, I agree with you 100% on the try line, because I think teams are positive. They get over the try line and then the pressure gets released. So I would like to go back to that 5 meter scrum, but I still think the drop goal is a skill. And sometimes it fades away and then it comes back like the weekend. And I mean, for Ford to have that feeling, that's what they need at the moment, and to have that skill to put it over, I think it deserves the 3 point. And even in South Africa's game, I mean, Andre Pollard, he didn't get anything. He went for a drop goal. Yes, it was stopped, of course, like everything was in that game, and we got the penalty and he kicked the penalty. But it's just for players, and that's, I think, with Ford at 10 for England as well, he's a guy that looks to play. And I think with a conservative mindset of the team, he's probably very good at 10 for them, because he's always looking for opportunities. But I think that feeling that a 10 and a 15 must have to read the game, and yes, of course, there's structure, but this is what's needed now to give momentum or to get momentum back. So I thought Ford was really good.
Oh yeah, no, I don't disagree with you, Victor. Like, well, I asked Trimby what he thinks about the 3 points, and I see Ricardo, why have you got a kicking tee behind you?
Just you never know when someone might need a kicker.
Was that so I was just going to ask you about what you think about the dropkick. So look, not taking anything away from England, great tactical play, 3 points, go for it, and that completely turned the game on its head. So I agree with you.
So if drop goals were worth 1 point instead of three, he got two drop goals, so you would have lost by 4 points less. Is that what would that be?
No. I just think it's a 1 point drop goal really makes it a game winning moment or a really big moment in the game. A 3-pointer, you know, I just think it's too much for the skill that it is.
Yeah, every now and again, it's demonstrated, and usually, as I said, it's demonstrated at the World Cup just how good a game plan that is if you've got someone like George Ford. But yeah, we had a lot of it the weekend. Sam Prendergast did it as well.
Yeah.
If it was that impactful, we'd probably see it more. Or whenever you have these patches of drop goals in games, you see it last for longer or be more established. If it does, then we'll start lobbying World Rugby for points difference.
I mean, I changed the subject, Ricardo, because I'm just about crying here. But did anyone watch the Argentinian soccer team against the Scottish rugby team? Because they got down to 11. Can you believe the referee sending those two boys off for a handbag throw, and they're already guys off the field? You just warn both of them and leave them on. So he sends, like, I'm going, what is going on here? Like, to be fair, I didn't watch the whole game. I watched the extended highlights because I got home last night and watched all the footy. But I'm going, what is going on with our game? Like,
I wasn't going to ask Victor about the red card this week.
No, I'm just, I promise you, I think World Rugby is buggering up our game. I mean, I was so frustrated in that game against Italy. I mean, that first 40 minutes, every time there's a stoppage, they go to the TMO, they change things. Then you could see it was a local producer as well. Every move, he tries and go back and show something of a high hit. It's just crazy where rugby is going at the moment. I think we just need to throw away all cards, go back to penalties. And if you think, even with a tap down, if you think, give the penalty try and go back, play 15 on 15. I mean, let's give easier penalty tries, but all these cards and all the changes and go back and have a look. I mean, we're killing the game at this stage. And yeah, that red card of South Africa, I could probably show 5-6 incidents in the other games exactly the same and no red card. So I think everything is inconsistent at the moment.
When our game gets down to 11 players on the field, right, against 15 or 14 at one stage, when you look at that, and I'm not talking about the South African game, I'm talking about the Argentinian game, right? There is absolutely no way at international rugby that we should be getting down to 11 men, right? So Brent Robinson, who came in and said he was going to be our chairman and make change, no one's coming out on a Monday and talking about this. We're the only people talking about it. Where is the leadership in world rugby addressing these problems? Because it's just continuing to frustrate me, right? And yeah, I was trying to listen to the Argentinian captain just going to the ref, like, mate, do you want to play soccer? Like,
but JK, isn't it time for the coaches to stand up? I mean, it's we pundits and we on the side and we fans actually, but I think it's time for the coaches to stand up and say, listen, we need to look at this. We've got a lovely game. Everyone loves it. I mean, if you look at all these games, the people that's at the games, they want to watch a spectacle. At the moment, the rest is just taking it over.
Victor, I disagree with you. Rugby people love our game. We love our game. But if you go to Chicago, people didn't know what the hell was going on for 50 minutes. Mm-hmm. And that's no disrespect to both teams. Like, it was just a frustrating game of 50 minutes, right? So, like, we're trying to get new people to come to our game. They go away bewildered. And this is – so when World Rugby say we want to grow our game, there needs to be a little bit of soul searching to say, well, we're going to love our game, right? We're going to love it regardless. But new people coming in the game, they go, what is this? What is this shit?
It's kind of a snobbery within rugby where we say, oh, well, the laws are complex. There's a lot going on. There's long conversations and the refs coming out with all these little buzzwords and having, you know, kind of meetings with touch judges and TMOs. And it's generally boring now. Every now and again, like at the end of the Wales game, there was a bit of drama and it was kind of, that was the first time I thought, oh, actually, am I interested to see what the ref has to say here or at a crucial moment in the game? But generally, it's just boring. It distracts from the product. As you say, Victor, our product is brilliant.
Yeah.
When it's fast paced, physical clashes, you know, all that good stuff, we love that. And that's the thing that's going to grow our game, not listening to refs mitigate and kind of find ways to not make it their fault or not make decisions or just make the game about them. We want the game to be about the product, not the referees.
Well, I'll tell you what's happening in the big games, and this is happening more and more. So the referee, and this is nothing against the referees, they are doing what their leadership is telling them. But it's about them. You know, they've got the meeting, they've got the cameras on them, they're looking at the big screen, like the TMOs coming into it. It's about them. The game is more about them than actually the game at the moment. And that really frustrates me. So that's leadership. Don't blame the ref, right? That's leadership, because it's like, you know, someone asked me yesterday about, you know, should we sack the coach? At the end, the buck stops at the coach. If your team's not playing well and it's losing, you get questioned. And all the coaches get that. But right now, what's happening is I don't think the referee leadership is taking responsibility for what's happening. Our game should never get down to 11 men, right? And we should be meeting, and our game shouldn't, like, it's like we've got two choices. Like Trimby, you said, right? Our game, when it's played amazingly with a great referee who actually disappears, you don't notice them. It's a fantastic game. But this start game that we've got is, so we've got to go two choices. We either go like American football, but then we've got to change our stadium so that they can deliver a beer and a hot dog while these bloody refs are talking for 5 minutes. And we go for 3 hours. That's our choice right now. So we need to go, okay, let's play four quarters. Let's deliver hot dogs and beers and stuff to us while we're sitting around rather than looking at our phones. Or we've got to speed our game up, right?
I think Rossi and Eddie Jones came out this weekend. And Eddie said it. I mean, yes, player safety. We want to look after our players. But I always say, if you're a boxer or you're a UFC fighter, you go and get punched in the face. We pick to play rugby. We're going to have contact. There's going to be head contact. We still love the game. That's why we play the game. I mean, give the penalty and let's go on. I think we went completely too far with player safety at the moment. Yes, if there's intent to hurt someone, I'm not for that. That must be a card or whatever. But if it's a rugby incident, we need to move on. And all, I mean, even the intercepts, giving yellows and all these things, I think we're killing our game.
Yeah, no, I look, I don't think, and so we're going to go, oh, it should be a yellow card. But I actually don't, I haven't seen a lot of malice in our game for a long, long time. There used to be malice when we played, right? So,
JK, if you go back to your days, remember a kickoff and then it was 10 on 10 punching each other. We don't want that in the game.
No.
But I mean, there's nothing of that anymore. You don't see it. It's a clean game if you go back. Or people rucking each other, jumping on each other. 16 studs. Remember those days when someone was on the wrong side? Five guys jumping all over a guy.
I remember the changing room, you know, sometimes Buck Shelford's back and some of the forwards' backs would be like, they would have bleeding from the rucking. You know?
Yeah.
So no, we don't want to go back to that. But what's happening at the moment is, I think if we don't change this, you're going to get frustrated. So get back to the point. We're only using technology to have three refs meet in the middle and watch the big screen. Let's use the technology. Okay, so where are the coaches and the players responsible? The players and the coaches are responsible for training during the week how you tackle, right? And I've said it again, it needs to go on the angle of the tackle, right? So if you're upright, but let's deal with it on Monday. Put them on card. Let's deal with it on Monday and make the sanctions severer for the players.
Yeah, okay? Agree.
This is, you are on report and Monday night discipline's going to deal with it. But if we found that you're technically wrong, you've injured someone or whatever, then, you know, you're out for 6 weeks and we're going to dock your pay. I don't know. Make it whatever it needs to be made to make it a bit, but do not make the long serving fan suffer.
All right.
And can we now talk about the Ireland South Africa game?
We talk about this too much and I think we've done enough. I mean, look, we've got some good news this week because Trimby, you're getting the chance to welcome South Africa to your homeland. You know, I mean, that must be so exciting for you.
Yeah, we're so excited. We are definitely more excited now than we were last week because we saw Ireland not quite return to where they were at their peak 18 months ago, 24 months ago, but certainly take a step back there. The big asterisk around that is, are Ireland really there or are Australia tired? Have they really dropped off where we saw them in the summer on the Lions Tour and at the start of the Rugby Championship? So that's the big asterisk, but it was very encouraging to see Ireland play a bit more rugby, get back into that shape that just pulls defenders out and putting guys through. Lovely skill set from a few guys. Just they played with a bit of tempo. We're talking about that balance. Like James at Gibson Park, tapping and going is just a mechanism to get tempo into Ireland's game. And when they've got tempo, they go well. They also made a few changes. Paddy McCarthy stepped up at scrum time. Again, stepping up and us being optimistic at scrum time is one thing, but when you're playing the Springboks, you need to be way more than just a little bit optimistic or hopeful. So it's going to be a huge challenge, but and this certainly doesn't mean that Ireland are walking into a cock a hoop, but they've got a little bit more to rely on. But this, I think, is going to be a huge test for them.
I think what you would have been disappointed with Trimby in Chicago was, you know, not seeing what we're now regarding as your DNA. You know, those quick taps, those, you know, getting some tempo into the game. I thought Jamison Gibson Park was outstanding. You know, we've got some pretty special halfbacks around at the moment, but I agree. I think if you've got to try, and with South Africa, obviously your scrum's going to have to be great. You know, your lineout has to be competent, you high ball that, but you've actually got to try and impose the way you want to play on South Africa. If you go out there, I believe, and try and stop any part of their game, you'll get crushed. So you've got to have the courage to play that game, you know, for 80 minutes.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough game. I mean, South Africa hasn't beaten or Rossi. That's the only city we hasn't won is Dublin. So it's going to be a big challenge. I thought Ireland were outstanding this weekend. I thought they really went back to what we got used to over the last few years. Trimby, do you think Fabregas has shown he's the number one 10 now?
Fabregas, the Spanish footballer. Well, he tackles like a Spanish footballer.
I wanted to ask, if he's a number 10, are you a bit worried about his defense at the moment?
Well, Victor, I was going to ask you exactly the same thing. So Sam Prendergast, I mean, his performance of the weekend with ball in hand, his distribution, the phase play, the shape, getting his team around the park. And I think he does that better. Like it's Johnny Sexton-esque. In terms of his decision making and his execution, his kicking game at the line as well, it's very, very good. He is absolutely excellent in that area. And it's just such a shame he can't complement that with a little bit of being a bit more robust in defense. I thought it was really poor. The try for Ikitau and then the missed tackle on the big winger, Australian winger.
Outside, yeah.
Really poor, really poor, and such a shame, because if he can add something meaningful in that area of his game, then he's looking like the complete package. But it's such a glaring omission from what he does, and it's only because he's so absolutely brilliant in other areas. But I mean, that's the area that Springboks are going to expose this weekend. That's exactly the question I was going to ask you, Victor. Will they show a montage of his missed tackles and say, this is the channel that we're going to get a soft shoulder?
Yeah, I think they'll definitely try and target him. But I believe Ireland will probably, from first phase, put him out at fullback on the wing. So then we'll probably have to go for the cross kicks or whatever. But I mean, if our scrum can be strong and he was defending at his normal position, I think that will be a big target. Damon Dalende going straight at him, maybe even Andre Estrezen from the blindside flank or whatever. But yeah, I think that will be a big target. I believe if Ireland want to beat South Africa, they need him at 10. They need that attacking game that the whole world is so scared of. Once they get that ball, go to the line, have all the options, they probably need him. I don't think they will come out and just beat South Africa with a kicking game. They need to have that attacking game as well.
This is why I'd be a little bit... So when you're playing South Africa, what do you do? Do you go toe-to-toe or try and match their physicality and then, you know, play with pace and try and put guys through holes with skill set? I don't think you do. I think if you play anything like the way South Africa want to play, you'll always be second best. But what have Ireland done in terms of selection? They've gone bulky back row. So Keelan Doris has gone to seven. They went McCluskey and Henshaw in the center. They've got Paddy McCarthy in there at loose head. It kind of feels like they've gone, okay, let's go big because we need, and I think the selection for Australia was a dress rehearsal. For South Africa, it wasn't about Australia. But for me, I don't think that's how you win against South Africa. You do something completely different because you can be the best at that. But if you go physical, then you go, well, we're always going to be chasing our tail a little bit. Hopefully then you can add to that, complement that with, well, Keelan Doris is not just physicality. He is skill set. Someone like Stuart McCluskey in the center, he is skill set because he's going to bring that offload. So hopefully that's the case. But yeah, it was very encouraging to see Ireland just show glimpses of what we've seen from them in the past. But it'll be an 80-minute performance. They'll need to do that constantly for 80 minutes, up that tempo. And then once it gets to 60, 55 minutes and they bring on the bomb squad, then you have to up that tempo even more to tire fresh legs. So it's going to be a huge challenge for Ireland, but at least they've shown something.
I actually thought Andrew Porter was really good off the bench. He had a big impact coming on in that second half, big impact in the game as well.
I was thinking about you, Victor, because I know you said this before. Whenever Razzie made those changes, then what's he thinking? And you mentioned this on one of our shows before. Well, the guys who've just got taken out, they're going to respond. So this is exactly the time whenever you're going to get a response from Porter. You're going to get a response from Gary Ringrose when Hugo Keenan, Jamie Osborne come back, because Mac Hansen now is playing 15 and Tommy O'Brien's in the wing. You've got that physicality and athleticism there. You're going to get reaction from those guys as well. It's just about managing people and their emotions and how what their incentive is. And I remember you saying that's how Razzie Rasmus would organize this. And it feels like Farrell's doing something similar.
Well, if you want to win, you got to lead, and I think Rassie is leading, right? So other teams are going, okay, what are we taking out of the world champions game? What do we need to implement into ours? And I think, you know, the reserves is, you know, the impact is unbelievable. You know, when you talk about impact, you know, Trimby, the game that we beat you guys in Chicago was about our bench coming on and lighting it up. You know, so you got to get those things right. It's a 23-man game now, right? And often what people don't see, it's actually the off the ball where the energy comes from. You know, I always say, look at a rugby team and you'll see a happy rugby team if everyone's charging round without the ball. You know, there's all that energy. And I think Eddie Jones mentioned it the other day. You know, he's talking about the energy off the ball. And I think that's, if you want to beat the South African team, we used to say this about the All Blacks all the time, you know, you've got to play for 80 minutes. You've got to play for 80 minutes. You know, I think with Prendergast, you know, he shouldn't try and be Sexton, right? Because Sexton was a great defender. You know, to get up and bash people, right? Like Finn Russell, how good is Finn Russell? You know, and everyone sees Finn Russell's attack, but shit, he can tackle. But all he needs to do is tackle. Doesn't need to be pretty.
Need to be brave.
He needs to be brave. That's a great word. You just got to get up. And you just got to get in the way. Be a judder bar if you have to be, right, to help your loose forwards get there and help them. But the balance you're going to have to make when you know, as a player, he's going to have to say, right, I need to be brave there. But it's also a mindset. Great standoffs, great first fives have this mindset, because defense is a mindset, and he might just need to flick his mindset. He might already be brave. But when you're thinking about, you know, attacking all the time, it's a split second, and then you've got to turn, you know, put that tackle head on. So if he doesn't, you'll lose.
I think who needs to be brave on the weekend is Dublin, because aren't you going there, Victor?
I'm going. I'll be there on Thursday night. I won't be swimming in the cold sea. I'll be in the Irish pubs waiting for Trimby to come join me for 72 hours.
Just constant rugby analysis for 72 hours.
Yeah. That's it.
You know, they just call them pubs in Ireland. They don't call them Irish pubs.
Is it? Okay. There's different ones. I went through the 10 best pubs in Dublin. So I've got a few I need to go visit.
You've always been big on prep. That's an important part of your game, isn't it?
And I'm taking my brandy with. I'm taking two bottles. I think I can take two bottles. So, Trimby, maybe I'll have a little taste for you.
Lovely. JK
poured it like shit. I'll pour it nicely for you.
Trimby, a little bit of advice. Stick to the Guinness, mate. Yeah, I wouldn't go the brandy way.
Yeah,
I think there needs to be some sort of bet between the two of you, though.
I was hoping that it was going to get to that, but they're both obviously a bit scared.
I'll get in the water. I mean, I'm keen, but Victor's ruled it out before it even became a question there.
I'll drink something. I'm not getting cold water. There's no chance.
What?
The water in Dublin will be colder than the water in Lake Michigan.
I was going to say, where would you go for a dip in Dublin?
Dunleary, the 40-foot. It'll not just be us. It was just us in Lake Michigan, JK. But there'll be 50 other people in there on Sunday morning.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so I'll put my little fuff speedo in for in case. But luckily we won't lose. So I'll be fine.
Finally, the mask slips.
The double world champions. This
yeah. You've been way too humble for this last half an hour, Victor. And you didn't actually talk. We haven't actually talked about the South African game.
There's nothing to talk about, because the ref buggered it up completely. He just took away the game. But again, I mean, they stuck to it. Rassie made four changes within 20 minutes. Sia was off. Jason Dixon was off. So, no, it's not something to talk about. Let's talk about Ireland, South Africa coming up.
Yeah, I think South Africa are going to struggle to play with 50 men, because they won't know. They haven't done it in weeks.
Well, do we say that if Aussie haven't helped us, I guess, but you know, Ricardo, you asked us whether the Northern Hemisphere or the Southern Hemisphere is going to win. So I guess it comes down to this weekend, does it?
Yeah,
I think the Northern Hemisphere has done really well, and we as the Southern Hemisphere must be worried. Will be much more dominant.
Well, why don't you come back to Super Rugby then, Victor?
Because you guys can't afford us. Sounds like it. I don't know.
Too much cash in Europe, isn't there?
Yes. The Euro.
The Euro. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Once they start talking about money, it's always a good time to end the show. Can't wait to see what happens on the weekend with who ends up getting wet in Dublin. I've got this feeling it's going to be you, Trimby, whether you win or lose. I think you're going in the water.
Yeah.
So we'll catch you next week on Rugby Rivals.
I just want to say, Trimby, there's a lot of South Africans coming over. I thought, because the visas is so hard to get, it takes like 3 months to get a visa to get to Ireland. But the people are so excited, and they're coming over, thousands and thousands of people. So it's going to be such a lucky vibe.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Fired up.
Good luck.